सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। सो दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 11। चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड द चाइल्डहुड पास्ट टाइम्स ऑफ कृष्ण। We are reading text 46 till 49. Text 46. Swam vatsakulam sarve payishyanta gatva jalashayabhyascham payitva papur jalam swam swam vatsakulam sarve payayishyanta ekada gatva jalashayabhyasham payitva papur jalam swam swam vatsakulam sarve पायिष्यन्त एकदा गत्वा जलाशयाभ्यासं पायित्वा पपुर्जलं स्वं स्वं वत्सकुलं सर्वे पायिष्यन्त एकदा गत्वा जलाशयाभ्यासं पायित्वा पपुर्जलम्। वत्सकुलं पायिष्यन्त एकदा गत्वा जलाशयाभ्यासम् सं सं वत्सकुलं सर्वे पायिष्यन्त एकदा। पायित्वा पपुर्जलम् स्वं स्वं वत्सकुलं सर्वे पायिष्यन्त एकदा गत्वा जलाशयाभ्यासम् पायित्वा पपुर्जलम्। स्वं स्वं वत्सकुलं सर्वे जलाशयाभ्यासं पायित्वा पपुर्जलम् स्वं स्वं ओन रेस्पेक्टिव वत्सकुलम द ग्रुप ऑफ काव्स सर्वे ऑल द बॉयज एंड कृष्णा एंड बलराम पायिष्यंता डिजायरिंग टू हैव देम ड्रिंक वाटर एकदा वन डे गत्वा गोइंग जलाशयाभ्यासम नियर द वॉटर टैंक पायित्वा आफ्टर अलाउविंग द एनिमल्स टू ड्रिंक वाटर पपु जलम दे ऑल्सो ड्रैंक वाटर। ट्रांसलेशन बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। वन डे ऑल द बॉयज इंक्लूडिंग कृष्णा एंड बलराम each boy taking his own group of calves brought the calves to a reservoir of water desiring to allow them to drink after the animals drank water the boys drank water there also। text 47 te tatra dadrushurbala mahasattvam avasthitam tatra survajra nirbhinnam gire shringam ivachutam। Translation. Right by the reservoir, the boys saw a gigantic body resembling a mountain peak, broken and struck down by a thunderbolt. They were afraid even to see such a huge living being. Text 48. Savaibako namamahan asuro bakarupadhruk agatya sahasa krishnam tikshnatundo grasadbali. That great bodied demon was named Bakasur. He had assumed the body of a duck with a very sharp beak. Having come there, he immediately swallowed Krishna. Text 49. Krishnam Mahabakagrastam Drishtva Ramadayor Bhaka Babur Indriyaniva Vinapranam Vichetasa. When Balaram and the other boys saw that Krishna had been devoured by the gigantic duck, they became almost unconscious, like senses without life. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Although Balaram can do everything, because of intense affection for his brother, he was momentarily bewildered. A similar thing is stated to have happened in connection with Rukmini Haran, the kidnapping of Rukmini. When Krishna, after kidnapping Rukmini, was attacked by all the kings, Rukmini was momentarily bewildered until the Lord took the proper steps. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So I would like to seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees here before I begin, so that I can speak something in glorification of Krishna and his devotional service. A few years back we had this Gita classes happening every evening. And that was the first time when I sat on this Vyasasana. So, at that time, we hardly had any devotees in the temple hall. After the Gaurarti, most of them used to leave. And few devotees in that corner, some in that corner, would sit and chant. And there were hardly any saffron devotees present. So that was a very comfortable situation where I could speak and share my thoughts. So today's situation is a little different, so I would like to really have your blessings and speak something so for my own purification. So the first verse talks about how all the boys, including Krishna and Balaram, one day took their calves and brought them to the reservoir of water, a body of water, desiring them to drink. And the animals drank the water and the boys also drank. So this is the period when the water of the water bodies in Vrindavan was drinkable. Nowadays if you go, I don't know, most of the water bodies are contaminated, especially the Yamuna and other major bodies. There was this NGO, Braj Foundation, that gave a presentation here a few months back, last year maybe. And they were talking about how we need to restore all these kunds and the reservoirs so that they can be brought back to their original state, how it was at the time of Krishna's pastimes. So many IIT engineers and many other geology and hydrology experts, they had carried out a survey, and with the help of many satellite images and other technology, the latest technology, they have discovered, and they are now trying to restore many of these water bodies to their original state. And there was a newspaper report where one 62-year-old man, he used to every day take a bath in the Yamuna. And then later he realized that the stretch between Delhi and some northern town above Vrindavan, the whole stretch was filled with sand, no water at all. That's when people came to their senses and they realized, the water that we see here in Yamuna of Vrindavan is not at all the Yamuna water. It is something else. And then they came to know that most of the Delhi's industrial waste and the sewage waste of the towns above Vrindavan, they were dumped into Yamuna, and that's the water where we take our dip, the holy dip. Holy dip in the sewage water. So now a lot of efforts are being taken, public awareness is increasing, the government is being informed about this. Another woman with her daughter, they once went for a pilgrimage and they just drank a few drops of water. And it is said the daughter died due to the poisonous effect of that water. So many things are happening, so now people are coming to their senses, and awareness about the pollution and the depletion of water. So when we devotees are going to Vrindavan, probably we can also make our attempt to, at least if not restore the kund, at least we can try to make sure that we don't pollute and destroy the environment in Vrindavan. Chaitanya Charitamrita recently wrote an article about the Save Yamuna campaign. So much campaign is happening all over the world. So he was comparing the destruction of the Vrindavan environment and the pollution of Yamuna to the destruction of temples during the Mughal period. How Aurangzeb and other Mughal rulers destroyed so many deities and temples. So he was comparing that to our current destruction of the Vrindavan's holy rivers and ponds. So unless we really purify our heart and try to clean the ecology of the heart, only then we can actually take some positive steps towards cleaning the environment of Vrindavan and keeping the holy dham clean and pure. Even I think Prabhupada said one time that even 500 years ago the Vrindavan atmosphere was very much similar to the atmosphere that was prevailing during Krishna's time. So when Lord Chaitanya was roaming around the forests of Vrindavan, even then you used to find peacocks and deers and so many other animals roaming around freely. Nowadays we hardly find any such thing. Right? So the same thing, if we are not careful about the destructive ways of modern lifestyle, the same thing can happen with even the Ganga. Ganga and other major rivers. Some environmentalists are predicting that the Ganga can disappear by the year 2050 if we go at the current rate of destruction of environment. And they were comparing with the Saraswati River, which was existing 5,000 years ago. And where we find about Vyasadeva sitting on the banks of Saraswati and compiling the Bhagavatam. So that river, now it has disappeared. That's why the whole western, the Rajasthan area has converted into a desert. So if these two rivers disappear, then there will be a complete desert land all over the Indian subcontinent. So we need to really take up measures so that we can maintain the purity of the dhams. So from this verse, we can understand how this is a typical atmosphere. The Krishna and Balaram taking their, along with their cowherd boys, taking their calves and cows for grazing. An ideal environment where everything is working in proper cooperation. So because ISKCON is trying to be a prototype of the original Vrindavan, we also need to try to implement this cooperative spirit among our devotees, among our God brothers, and try to just follow the orders, superior orders, just follow the instruction, trying to serve. So your calves and the cowherd boys are taking all the calves, and the center of every attraction is Krishna and Balaram, just to give pleasure to Krishna and Balaram. And that's how they are spending their time in the days in the forests of Vrindavan. So here we see how Bakasur is introduced. So right from the early days of Krishna's appearance, we see so many demons have been already killed. Putana, Shakatasur, Trinavrat. Yesterday we saw Vatsasur, right? Vatsasur was killed. So many demons have already died at the hands of Krishna. This is the full-blown demon-killing career of Krishna happening. So many demons are going to be killed in the future. So here Bakasur is introduced. So people usually ask why Krishna doesn't appear now. So much irreligion is happening, so much corruption, scandals, so many sinful activities are going on. Why doesn't the Lord make his descent now and save the world from the current demonic situation? So as Krishna says in the Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam sujamyaham. Whenever there is a decrease in religion and a predominant rise of irreligion, that's when Krishna makes his descent. Krishna takes an incarnation. So if Krishna had appeared 5,000 years ago, just imagine how much was the amount of demonic populating the world. Unless the situation is really, really critical, where the situation is totally out of control, that's when an incarnation appears in order to restore the situation. So if you see, there is no incarnation personally coming to restore the situation, so that means the situation is not so much out of control, probably. And there are still some pious activities happening. It is not so difficult for us to go out and chant Hare Krishna, unlike the Mughal period where it was totally banned. During Aurangzeb's time and all, there was hardly any religious, public performance of religious activities. But nowadays we don't see, the situation is so bad that we can't even freely chant and practice our religious practices. So situation is not so bad. So probably there's no need for an incarnation. And even as he says, yuge yuge par sambhavami yuge yuge, every yuga he incarnates. So people naturally wonder why our lifespan is much shorter than the duration between two incarnations. So naturally then people start wondering why an incarnation not coming now, so late. And as the Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Vata. So actually there is an incarnation. in the form of the holy name. And that's what is going to deliver mankind from its present demonic situation. So Krishna comes when there is actually an urgent need to restore the religious principles. Usually you don't find any, say for example, any organization where if there is any problem in the institution, the leader generally doesn't come immediately and try to rectify the problem. That is taken care of by the managers and other people. Unless the situation is really critical, serious, only then the head of the institution comes and rectifies the problem. Right? During even Prabhupada's time, we were reading this in the Leelamrita, how the Grihastha Sannyasa issue happening. So that was a really complicated problem where Prabhupada himself had to intervene and rectify the problem. Right? Otherwise, small issues, Prabhupada wanted the GBC men to resolve it, his managers to resolve them. And he wanted to sit and peacefully write. He never wanted to come into the small problems and resolve them. Even in our temple, when this recent plane crash happened, that was such a critical issue that Radhanath Swami Maharaj had to personally come and solve the problem. Otherwise, you don't find everyone going with their problem to Maharaj's room and then getting it resolved. Right? So unless the situation of the world is so critical, only then Krishna personally decides to come and rectify the problem. Otherwise, his material energy, the administrative demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, they are the ones who take care of the situation and solve the problems. So in this verse, we find how Balaram, when Bakasur came and he swallowed Krishna. So Bakasur's body was lying near this water body in the form of a duck with a very sharp beak. And having come there, he immediately swallowed Krishna. It was resembling a mountain peak broken and struck down by a thunderbolt. And the coward boys were afraid of even to look at this huge living being. So Bakasur was lying there, and when he swallowed Krishna, everyone fainted, including Balaram. Now Balaram is the supreme personality of Godhead himself. He is the first expansion of Krishna, who is from whom so many other forms of Vishnu expand. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and the Mahavishnus, and the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and the Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. Everything is coming out from the form of Balaram. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami dedicates an entire chapter on the glories of Lord Nityananda Balaram in the Adilila. So there he says how Krishna and Balaram are identical. Only their complexion is different. And Balaram's main job is to assist Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. Otherwise, there is no difference between the two forms. There is the same personality with different forms. That's the only difference. And Prabhupada explains in the purport, Balaram is a swamsha expansion of the Lord. So there is no difference in potency between Krishna and Balaram. The only difference is in their bodily structure. As the first expansion, Balaram is the chief deity among the first quadruple forms. And he is the foremost assistant of Sri Krishna in his transcendental activities. So that is the position of Balaram, and he faints. In a few chapters back, you will read how Gargamuni was performing the name-giving ceremony. And he named Balaram as Baladev, one with immense supernatural strength. And here we find he is fainting and falling unconscious. Even when Akrura was returning from Vrindavan, bringing Krishna and Balaram back to Mathura for that wrestling match. So there, when he took the first dip, he saw Krishna and Balaram, who were standing outside the river, on the land. He saw their forms inside the river. And he was confused. So when he came out of the water and again saw Krishna and Balaram, And then he again went back. And that time he saw Krishna in the form of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, lying on the bed of Sheshnag. So then he realized Krishna is Vishnu and Balaram is that original serpent, Sheshnag, Ananta Shesh. So how can this form, who is the source of all incarnations, faint? Just because a mere ordinary duck swallowed Krishna. So, Krishna and Balaram, although they are identical, the same person, and only their forms are different, Balaram's main duty is to serve Krishna and give pleasure to Krishna in various capacities. Like we see how in all the different rasas, Balaram expands and provides service to Krishna. In the form of Sheshna, that is neutral in Shantaras. And then in Dasyaras, he serves Krishna in so many ways. In Sakhyaras, as a friend, while playing with Krishna and the cowherd boys, he serves Krishna. In Vatsalyaras, he again serves as an elder brother. And in the conjugal mood, he serves as Anangamanjari. So most of the time he is serving Krishna. But many times we find how Balaram is apparently going against Krishna's plans. Like we find how while playing with the cowherd boys, how they form two teams and Krishna and Balaram are in the opposite teams. Apparently fighting against Krishna. Right? And Balaram is the one who complained to Mother Yashoda about Krishna eating dirt. Apparently, spoiling Krishna's desire to eat dirt. When in the Mahabharata, we find how Subhadra was being kidnapped, Balaram again protested Krishna's desire for Arjuna to marry Subhadra. So many times we find Balaram going against Krishna's desire. Even when killing Rukmini. Rukmini was a brother-in-law of Rukmini, and Balaram is the one who killed him during that dice game. So he didn't care how whether Krishna is going to be displeased, or he is the brother-in-law of my brother. He didn't care. Right? And even when during the last day of the Mahabharata war, yesterday we were hearing Gaurang Prabhu describing this, how Balaram supported Duryodhan. Now, Bhim and Duryodhan both were the disciples of Balaramji in the mace fighting. But when the dual fight was happening on the 18th day, so both of them decided we will hold the fight in a place called Samanta Panchak, and both of them go there and they start fighting with the clubs and. When the fight is going on, Balaramji arrives there. So Balaramji had gone for a pilgrimage all over India. And he didn't want to participate in the battle on either side. Because he had a soft corner for both sides. He knew Krishna was supporting the Pandavas and he had a soft corner for Duryodhan. So he didn't want to oppose Krishna nor did he want to kill Duryodhan or kill the Kauravas. So he remained neutral and he went for a pilgrimage. And when he came back, he saw the final match is about to happen. Krishna, Bhim and Duryodhan about to fight with each other and destroy each other. So he remained neutral and he blessed both of them and both began to fight. And during the fight, it is said that Bhima was physically strong but Duryodhan was more skillful. So Bhim was hitting Duryodhan, trying to hit Duryodhan hard as far as possible, but somehow Duryodhan used to dodge him and avoid the hit. And when Duryodhan used to hit Bhim, he couldn't dodge so skillfully. But Bhim was physically strong, so he was able to accept that hit. And in this way, the fight continued for a long time. And finally, Bhim and the Pandavas realized that it is not going to be an easy fight. Probably, Bhim may not win over Duryodhan. And Duryodhan was getting the upper hand. So, So then Arjuna indicated to Krishna what to do. So then Krishna indicated that the thigh thing. How Bhima had promised, taken a vow that he is going to kill Duryodhan by hitting on the thigh. And even Maitreya Rishi had cursed Duryodhan that he is going to die after getting hit on the thigh. So he indicated it was bona fide. Nothing wrong if Bhima was going to hit Duryodhan on the thigh. And Arjuna indicated to Bhima, when Bhima looked at Arjuna, he indicated indirectly that you can hit on the thigh. And when Bhima got the next opportunity, when Duryodhan jumped into the air, that's when Bhima hit Duryodhan on the thigh. And as soon as he got the hit, he immediately collapsed on the ground and fell down with agonizing pain. And everyone understood, now this is going to be the end. The match has ended. So when Balaramji saw this, how Bhima had violated the laws of the game, he became extremely angry. And he was about to kill Bhima. He decided, now this is the end. Let me finish the match. And somehow Krishna grabbed him or held him back and stopped him and then said, come on. You don't remember how many injustices Duryodhan has performed against the Pandavas. He was on a pilgrimage. He didn't know what has happened. So then he realized that it is Krishna's plan. And Krishna wanted Duryodhan to die in this way. And then he smiled and he went back. So here again we find how apparently Balaram is opposing Krishna's plan. There is a difference of opinion between the two, although they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is Balaramji's main service. Somehow or other, although it is apparently contradictory, his main job is to assist in the rasa. That increases the devotional, the mood, the loving exchange between the two brothers. And that's what attracts us towards their dealings and prepare our way to go back to Godhead. So this is Balaramji, how he assists Krishna in various pastimes. Interestingly, when the Kaliya episode happened, and when Krishna was entangled in the coils of Kaliya, Balaramji didn't faint. There, when all the covered boys came and then they saw Krishna in the coils of Kaliya, everyone fainted, except Balaram. Balaram was smiling when Krishna was dancing and trapped inside within the Kaliya coils. So when all the covered men came there, he pacified them. No need to worry, Krishna will easily come out. And he was thinking within himself, how as Mahavishnu, when he is lying in my coils of Sheshnag, he never cares to dance on my hoods. He is peacefully resting there. But now a mere snake has come and he is taking so much pleasure to dance on the hoods of Kaliya. So he knew that he is easily going to come out and is never going to get killed. And that's how he pacified the other covered men and covered boys and the gopis. So in this verse we find how Bakasur has swallowed Krishna. Bakasur had come there with a sharp beak and he grabbed Krishna and swallowed him. Bakasur history is interesting. How he became Bakasur? Earlier he was a Gandharva named Suhotra, a disciple of Durvasamani. Suhotra and two others, these three brothers were disciples of Durvasamani. So one day they went to a lake called Pushkaratirth to perform austerities. Pushkaratirth happened to be the lake where there were so many lotuses. And it was guarded by the servants of Lord Shiva. So now Suhotra went there and he picked up a few lotuses to offer it to Krishna. Interestingly, He wanted to offer it to Krishna and he picked up a few lotuses. That's when the servants of Lord Shiva captured him, all three of them, and took them to Lord Shiva. So it seems Shiva had promised Parvati. Now Parvati was doing a puja every day where she was offering 1000 lotuses to Krishna. And the lotus had, now this puja had to be performed for 100 days. So 1000 into 100, 10,000 lotuses. There were exactly 10,000 lotuses in that pond. And when they picked up a few lotuses, so there was a few shortage. And then Lord Shiva cursed them. You become demons in your next life. So Bakasur and the other two became Pralamba and Keshi. And they were promised that you will be killed by Krishna and then you will be delivered in your next life. So that's how Suhotra became Bakasur and the other two became Pralamba and Keshi. Bakasur represents this quality of cunning duplicity. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains. Cunning duplicity, deceptive behavior and hypocrisy. The outward manifestations of a false lifestyle of cheating activities. This is what Bakasur represents. So every demon represents a certain anartha in our heart. And when Krishna appears and kills them, that anartha is destroyed. So when we take to Krishna consciousness and start performing devotional service, we can hope and pray that this demon of duplicity and hypocritical behavior will be destroyed. So this duplicity can come in the form of our dealings with our God brothers, or we can also become victims of someone else's duplicitous behavior. So unless we are Krishna conscious, we will fall victim to this kind of behavior by other people. So Bakasur with his sharp beak captured Krishna and ate him. But then when Krishna went inside, he started expanding himself and Bakasur started feeling a burning sensation. And that burnt up the whole body of Bakasur, and that's how Krishna came out and destroyed, killed Bakasur. So we can understand how someone can force Krishna into himself. Somehow intellectually, philosophically, by studying scriptures, one may force oneself, force Krishna into oneself, but that doesn't guarantee that Krishna will remain in our heart. Only loving devotional sentiments and moods can capture Krishna within our heart. Otherwise, if we are doing an intellectual exercise or any other form of non-devotional method to take Krishna in, then probably Krishna may burn us and come out and destroy the Bakasur within. So, this is what Bakasur and the other demons represent. We need to understand how Balaramji's position, unless we really take shelter of the Balaramji's tattva, which is the outward, in our case, the guru is the one who is representing Balaramji. So if we really take shelter of Balaramji and Krishna, that's how we can destroy the anarthas within us. Otherwise, any amount of intellectual endeavor, other scholarship, yogic methods, we find so many philosophers and spiritual practitioners trying to understand God and the spiritual life in so many ways. But most of them are ignorant about the real goal of life. They just keep wandering. There is a wandering soul, mindful soul. So many people we find in this section of the speaking tree of the Times of India. Many people are interested in pursuing spiritual life and then they wander around so many gurus and yogis and babas and they end up confused. coming to no conclusions. So if you are fortunate enough, Brahmanda Brahmite Hule Kona Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, Bhakti Lata Beach. Only a fortunate living entity comes across a bona fide guru, a real spiritual teacher, and gets the seed of pure devotional service. And in the association of devotees, if he gets a favorable association of devotees, he can cultivate and water the devotional creeper, the devotional seed, and the creeper then can flourish and grow into a beautiful tree with nice fruits and flowers. So that association of devotees is very critical. Prabhupada said, if anyone is practicing devotional service outside the association of devotees, is in a state of hallucination. Somehow or other, we have to make sure we are sheltered in this protective association of devotees, and we can practice Krishna consciousness nicely and perfect our life and go back home, back to Godhead. So I'll stop here. That's all I have to say. If anyone has any question or comment, they can take one or two.
Hare Krishna. Initially, in the beginning of your class, you mentioned how Yamuna water and other rivers, they are getting polluted and all that. Now, in the Nectar of Instruction, it says that
Where
Buddhvada Fena Pankair, Nectar of Instruction. Brahmadravattam apagachati niradharmaihi. A person who is who knows the spiritual nature of the water, he doesn't mind taking bath in spite of this. So, and also devotees explain, we hear that even if it is apparently very contaminated and all, like some devotees even who had problem with different waters, they still drank that water, Yamuna water, and nothing happened. But whereas someone who didn't have that faith would always drink only bottled water, but then without that faith, he drank a little, he got sick. So is it, I just wanted to ask, is it ideally better to just, have faith and, accept taking bath or drinking, or, should we be practical, so-called? What is your idea?
Yeah, from the spiritual point of view, Yamuna and Ganga can never disappear. It is the goddess Yamuna. We call it Yamuna Devi. So that is going to be existing all the time. They are eternal personalities. So in that mood, we can definitely take shelter. And whenever Prabhupada, he went with his disciples, they took bath. Current spiritual masters also, when they go, they take bath. So we can definitely follow in their footsteps. But that doesn't mean we should be lax about not protecting the environment. Just because it is spiritual, we may probably think, oh, anyway, that is not going to be destroyed. I can continue my reckless lifestyle and continue polluting. So this information is given so that we are aware of the polluting nature of our lifestyle that can destroy the environment. Yes, from the spiritual point of view, definitely, we can continue with our faith and perform the regular rituals. But this information should make us alert about the dangerous conditions that is now destroying the holy dham. So definitely, we can, with faith, that faith will definitely help us to nourish our devotional service. That can continue. Anything else? Granthaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.